Good afternoon and welcome to the Lewis Show. I'm Harley Schlanger. I'm your host today. It's Saturday, December 16th, 2006. This past Tuesday, December 12th, there was a resounding proof of principle of a dynamic process which Lyndon LaRouche calls the new politics. In his analysis of the complete and thorough repudiation of the Bush-Cheney administration by the voters on November 7th, in which the Democrats won both the House and the Senate, LaRouche described how a relatively small number of young adults could deploy for maximum strategic effect. This was written on November 26th and helped shape a deployment of a team of LaRouche Youth Movement members from California and Texas into a runoff election in the 23rd District of Texas in San Antonio, in which the incumbent Republican, Henry Bonilla, was defeated decisively by Democrat Ciro Rodriguez. And the LIM played a decisive role in that election, as we will be exploring on this show. In LaRouche's essay, which is subtitled Johannes Kepler and the Democratic Challenge, which is in the December 8th issue of the EIR, the Executive Intelligence Review, he discusses how, under conditions of profound global crisis, there's a brief window of opportunity which opens when people become susceptible to new ideas, when there's a stark recognition that the old ideas have failed, that business as usual does not give you a chance of survival, and that change must occur. But without a leadership capable of uplifting and inspiring the population, such moments often pass with no solution. This is what happened when Lord Shelburne acted through unleashing the so-called French Revolution to sabotage the potential of the American Revolution to spread to Europe in the late 1780s, early 1790s. And it was of this failure that Friedrich Schiller wrote that a great moment has found a little people. The leadership issue is crucial in this principle of the new politics. We're now again, as a human race, at such a great moment. The existing financial system, which has been in a process of collapse literally since Harry Truman became president, but especially since the 1960s and 1971, when Nixon made a decision to get rid of the Bretton Woods system of Franklin Roosevelt. This system that we've had since 71 is at the last moments of survival. And you have an effort by today's Lord Shelburnes, people such as George P. Shultz and Felix Roeten, to impose a worldwide fascist order, which they call globalization, to save this system, the system which has outlived its never had any usefulness, but the system which is collapsing now. And it's Shultz and Roeten who are promoting a new empire, and that's an empire based on war, destruction of nation states. In fact, according to Colonel Sam Gardner, we know today that Dick Cheney has a war plan for Iran on his desk as we're speaking to you today. So there's been a reaction to this collapse. It started prior to November 7th in such things as the General's Revolt. But in the last just a little over a month, look at the incredible developments that have occurred. The November 7th elections, in which the House and the Senate were taken by the Democratic Party. The subsequent resignation, retirement, firing of Donald Rumsfeld, who only the week before George Bush said would be with him till the end of his administration. Well, hopefully with Rumsfeld leaving on Monday, maybe he'll take Bush and Cheney with him. The release of the Iraq Study Group and the discussion that that's unleashed of the necessity to change policy, and not just to change the policy, but something which is verging on the 2003-2004 development of the LaRouche Doctrine for Southwest Asia. At the same time, you have the very provocative and interesting book by former President Jimmy Carter, which identifies the way out of the crisis in the Middle East by going after the Israeli, the faction within Israel that has committed itself to the Jabotinskyite solution of suppressing the Palestinian Arab population and by bringing this into the dialogue. And then finally, on December 12th, the defeat of the Republican Party, and also, as Lyndon LaRouche made clear after the election, the demise of Howard Dean as the chairman of the Democratic National Committee. So we're in a moment of profound change, profound crisis, and the necessity for a dialogue around the ideas that will get us out of this. And that's what we'll be discussing today on the LaRouche Show. How do we prevent the entrenchment of a new dark age? I'll be speaking with a panel of LaRouche Youth Movement members, which will include Michael Kirsch from Boston, who's in the war room right now, Keisha Rogers in Houston, who is in San Antonio with the LIM squad, and Leona Fanchen in Los Angeles, where the LIM is engaging in an expanding operation applying the new politics for mass effect. So Michael, Keisha, and Leona, welcome to the LaRouche Show.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you, Harley.
Thanks.
Let's begin with Keisha, because the December 12th election was the culmination of, in a sense, the November 7th process, where in isolation we saw the same factor that inspired the vote to turn out the Republicans on November 7th. That is, a hostility toward an incumbent Republican who was identified by the LIM as a Bush baby. But more importantly, the deployment and mobilization of young people to be a catalytic force in the defeat of Henry Bonilla. So, Keisha, why don't you give us a summary of the deployment of the LIM and how this process worked?
Well, it was a very exciting two-week deployment for the Houston LIM into the San Antonio 23rd Congressional District. One thing is that we were able to take this idea of LaRouche's conception of the new politics of mass effect that was deployed during the November 7th election and take it to a whole nother level. We went into a campaign where, following the November 7th election, where you saw a record number of young people come out and demand change. They wanted to see a change in the direction of the nation. And that's what you saw as a revolutionary impact in the November 7th election. We followed that up in the San Antonio race, but you had a different dynamic going on, because now, after the November 7th election, it sort of was a quiet after the storm, and you had to go back out and sort of rouse up the population again that the battle wasn't over yet, that there was still another opportunity for us to put forth another 1-2 knockout punch to the Bush-Cheney administration.
And Keisha, before you got there, it was not very well known in San Antonio, especially on the campuses, that there was even going to be a runoff election.
Not at all. You saw a lot of people, after we would let them know that there was an election, would say, but I already voted in the November election. I already voted for Democrats. And you had to give people, let people know that there was another election going on. And this became a drive of the LIM. You know, we had 7 youth organizers deployed into probably one of the largest congressional districts in the nation that covers a vast amount of land area. And we had to actually take a approach as to how we would, in a very short period of time, turn out an enormous number of the youth vote. And what was interesting about the campaign as we went in is it was a very, very much a learning experience for us going in to actually challenge ourselves on this question of how do we, as Mr. LaRouche has emphasized, create the type of mass effect around ideas, around going in and recruiting the youth in that population to get out and to vote and to take participation in this very historic process and at that period of time. And so what's interesting is that you had a situation where the campaign most definitely wasn't, you know, usual typical politics and tactics of campaigning, that we did go into a circumstance, a situation where, as we went in, many people didn't know about the campaign. Many people were kind of at a point where they weren't too concerned about participating in the campaign, but it was our intervention and the day in and day out work that we were able to do in creating just a political polarization of the environment. Most of the campaigning and the organizing that we did took place on key campuses in the district.
Keisha, I saw a couple of the flyers we put out to encourage people to go out and vote against Bonilla. What was interesting to me is the conscious connection of November 7th to December 12th, that the job was not done. There's one more Bush baby that has to go. And I presume that's something that did resonate with the voters.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. That once we put out this flyer, 35 Bush puppets down and one to go, people had already had a sense that the policies of the incumbent Republican congressman were not in the best interest of the population and of the people of the 23rd Congressional District. And so they just needed to be really mobilized with an opportunity and a fight that they could actually once again see another victory for the Democrats in the House. And after seeing, one, that the mobilization and momentum coming out of the Democratic Party was at that point very little, that there was really little recognition of this campaign. And many people just thought that it was, you know, something that would not get much recognition and publicity. Completely changed after our presence and our organizing strategies during that 2-week period.
Keisha, I want to come back to how it was that Howard Dean was organizing to lose the election. We can come back to that in a moment, but let me just jump ahead.
Okay.
Once we hit the ground running and started organizing on the campuses and getting a response, there was an interesting development that occurred at the very end of the campaign, which sort of cinched the victory when
mm-hmm.
President Clinton showed up precisely at the campus where we had done much of the organizing. Why don't you just give us a quick report on the Clinton visit?
Well, the Clinton visit kind of hit the nail on the hammer there. You had a situation where many people before Clinton came were very pessimistic about the opportunity and the turnout of the campaign. But as soon as Clinton got there, after what we had done to pretty much shape the political environment and hearing about the youth infiltration into the campaign and the work that we were doing, it was interesting that probably 3 days before the campaign, before the election, Clinton was called into one of the key colleges that we had been organizing on consistently for the past week or two. This was an interesting situation because he came into this college where it wasn't the largest populated university or college in the district, but it had been very much tapped by the organizing efforts of the LaRouche Youth Movement and had a real sense of being politically empowered. And so when Clinton came in, he drew probably about 2,000 people who were primarily your regular voters. And during that period of time, he encouraged and inspired the voters to go out and to organize their family and friends to go and vote as though this was a period that meant a real decisive moment. And so what Clinton had to say during his speech was pretty powerful. He actually got to this question of actually not just going after the Bush administration, but emphasizing how the current administration is in a state of denial of reality. And what was interesting is that during his speech, he said, well, the Bush administration thinks that being in a state of denial is a good thing, that the population is wrong because they're in a sense of reality, and the reality-based people are crazy. And he really got to this question of how this was an election that was to be won by the people. If we were to go out, if the population was to go out into the district and mobilize everyone they knew to vote, then we could actually win this election. So he really rallied and inspired the crowd to go out and to take action in this period and
Patricia,
to look
you
at
think
what
that,
was happening.
You think that Clinton gets the idea of the new politics?
I think he's been reading a little there.
What Lyndon LaRouche said in his statement right after the election is that the limb intervention in itself may not have been sufficient, although it brought Rodriguez up to the point where there could be a victory. But it was the combination of Clinton plus the limb, which Lynn said not only won this election and defeated Bonilla, but that's the most powerful force for the Democratic Party. And he stated that the Democratic Party must learn this lesson quickly. Now, Keisha, we'll get back to you in a little bit, but I want to bring Michael on now because Michael has been in the war room since November 7th, and he's been watching this process unfold. And Michael, what is your sense of this idea of the new politics? How has this changed your view of politics?
Hello?
Yeah, Michael?
Okay, great.
Go ahead.
All right, glad to be here. This is a very, very important show on today. I'm glad to be discussing this issue of the new politics because we stand right now, we're going into a week, which is absolutely crucial. And I hope all the listeners listening to this show and the American population across the country that's tuning in really has a sense of that. This is the week we have now, the 1 week before we go into the holiday week, and then the following is when the incoming Congress is coming in. And this question about the new politics and how the American population can, in fact, be self-conscious of how they are to approach changing the situation for the incoming Congress is the most important thing to be discussing today. So this is very good that we're out to discuss this. You wanted to know what I think about the new politics. I've been here in the war room, which is the coordinating effort of the LaRouche Youth Movement, and something that, as the last election demonstrated, and I think I will say to give listeners a sense of the new politics, how this thing has come about now as a real method for political action. To give people a sense, let's take a step back and just take a look at what we did moving into the election. So people have a sense of what this thing is going to be now. Before the election, Lyndon LaRouche and the LaRouche Youth Movement descended upon the university campuses, which was the crucial flank, which which Dean Howard Dean and the grassroots, which just smoked out in San Antonio, as Keisha was going through, didn't move on the campuses. But the LaRouche Youth Movement did, and with the professors and the youth across the country, something which everybody knew was to be the case of an absolute suppression operation of political discussion and political action in the Bush regime of the last 4 years, they weren't discussing it openly. And we got this type of discussion going and caused, through the distribution of 750,000 pamphlets, is Joseph Goebbels on your campus, over 75 universities, we caused a discussion that radiated across the country and shaped the entire election. Now, where we are today, we have now the incoming Congress, and what we've been doing since the election is to distribute another 750,000 pamphlets of a pamphlet by LaRouche, The Economic Recovery. Do you know the specific title there, Harley?
I don't have it in front of me, but it is the two webcasts that Lynn has just done around the time of November, the November 7th election.
That's right. Organizing a Recovery. And we're getting this out nationwide. Which is harking the memory of something that we got out all last year, the U.S. Economic Recovery Act of 2006. And this is what the key issue is for the incoming Congress as the United States is in a severe economic collapse. So we're out to distribute the, we've been distributing this across the country and going back to the campuses and telling the youth, you've now demonstrated your power in what you just did in this election, and telling the professors the same, that this group that we exposed in Joseph Goebbels on your pamphlet that is controlling the Bush administration's policy now, the group behind Dick Cheney trying to throw us into a war with Iran, the crowd that has a crazy policy of economics, we're telling the youth, you fought this group, you've demonstrated your power, and now you have to turn to this and be self-conscious of what we can do, and now make sure that the incoming Congress is going to be taking up this emergency proposal of Lyndon LaRouche. And so the type of... Oh, sorry.
Let me just interrupt you for a second, Michael, and tell the listeners, remind them they're listening to the LaRouche Show. These pamphlets are available. They're available by calling us at 800-929-7566. And we want to make sure that we have the widest circulation of these before the new Congress comes in, as this is a part of what we're discussing, this idea of the mass effect. Now, Michael, let me go back to something that you said, because I think that one of the things that people would find interesting if they looked at this article by LaRouche on the new politics is the emphasis on classical science and classical culture, which is one of the central, if not, is actually the central feature of what differentiates the LIM from the old politics. Now, how does this work? What's the importance of the Kepler and Bach for the development of this new political force in the country?
Well, to take that question up, to address something. One thing that's come up since the election, I think I'll attack it this way, has been a certain amount of the population that we're running into and discussing is not quite self-conscious of what they've done, what was the cause of the election. They realize, okay, now we've got a Democratic majority. But they're a little foggy on what in fact the cause was of this change, which to all observers up before the election and the type of performance of the Democratic Party seemed impossible. And so when you approach a paradox like this kind of change in the election, the challenge is, okay, how do we make the United States population self-conscious? So now, let me say, the issue of dynamics, as Lyndon LaRouche has illustrated in the New Politics paper, from the standpoint of Kepler and Leibniz, is absolutely is necessary to understand. And frankly, a lot of young people in the United States do have interest, contrary to all statistical ideas of... people say, well, what is this singing here you're going to do? How many votes is this going to get you, right? Or what are you talking about, Leibniz and Bach? Well, something that Johannes Kepler demonstrated in the first part of the New Astronomy, which was the crucial part, the refutation of former astronomers Copernicus, Tycho Brahe, and Ptolemy. What he did is to... It was in part demonstrating that in ancient astronomy and modern astronomy of Copernicus and Tycho Brahe's time, astronomers all had different models of how they showed the motions to occur. But what Kepler demonstrated was that all of the models were equivalent, but were a rearrangement of statistical data. Now, this was the same method in which Leibniz refuted Descartes, by as well showing that there's no set of predicates, what Leibniz referred to as form, size, extension of body, that can show the cause. But what has to be known is the dynamic, the force, and the action. And as Kepler showed in astronomy, the unseen principle. Now, when approaching this election, you can take methods of how you explain what the cause was. Dean's crowd would say, the amount of robocalls, we won because we had robocalls. A lot of people will claim victory and rearrange the data in any way to show that they won. But if you take a look at our movement, the LaRouche Youth Movement and Lyndon LaRouche's method, what we do is to say, we know that there is a truth to the crisis of the current in the United States. There's a truth to how people are what they're in the middle of right now. Take the case of the economic crisis. How we're going to approach shaping the way we're going to get through a change in Congress. A lot of people in the United States population know they're losing their homes. The housing market's blowing out, but they won't discuss it openly. But you get people talking, and somebody, you know, John says, "Hey, Larry, you know, I'm doing pretty bad. You know, I can't seem to get my mortgage." "Oh, really? Hey, that's happened to me too." And think it's something that's actually occurring, but it's not something people are willing to discuss. And the method of politics, as has been approached now, is the truth is not popular. We're not going to approach it. But what we've done is to say, as Kepler and Leibniz demonstrate with the catenary, if you approach the population knowing that there is a truth to the process of the country, and you, in fact, invoke a discussion on truth, you can then, in fact, measure the effects of that discussion. You have an ability to measure because you know that the cause of this paradoxical turnout, let's say in the election, something that people thought was impossible, you can know the paradox because you know what the cause was. You know what you invoked as the truth. And I think there's more that can be said on the question of method, in fact, of how this occurred.
And we can pick that up. I just want to give the listeners a couple of examples of how this happened in San Antonio, where the election coverage the day after the election talked about the shock, the stunning results, the earthquake. And yet I think the people such as Keisha and the team from L.A. and Houston that were there, it wasn't such a shock, was it, Keisha?
Not at all.
You saw this thing coming.
Oh, yeah, because you understand the situation in which Mr. LaRouche has been laying out of the economic crisis, and also what the people right now are looking for change, and they are in a sense of reality. And you saw it coming because of the results from the November 7th election and the impact that that campaign had.
I think this gets to something else Michael was bringing up, which is that people are saying, well, how can LaRouche say that he catalyzed the results on November 7th? You were only in certain locations. But in fact, when you look at the country not as a series of discrete locations, but as a population which is facing universal problems, the war, the seemingly endless nature of the so-called war on terrorism and the idiocy of the president, the effects of the economy on people, the shutdown of the auto sector, the collapse of the housing market, and you realize that a catalytic effect in one part of the country will reverberate nationwide. And so we'll be back in just a few moments to continue this discussion with the LaRouche Youth Movement members. This is the LaRouche Show. It's Saturday, December 16th, 2006. If you have some questions for us, we can take your emails. You can send them to us at radio@larouchepub.com. That's radio@larouchepub.com. The LaRouche Show is live on the web every Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. The show is archived, and you can get it by going to the LaRouche Pub website, and you'll see a little title that says The LaRouche Show, and there you'll find the archives for the last years, and you'll see how effective Lyndon LaRouche has been, and especially the growing power of the LaRouche Youth Movement. If you go back and scroll through that and listen to some of the earlier shows, and you see how this process has unfolded. Also, again, let me tell you, the literature is available for distribution. Call us at 800-929-7566. That's a toll-free number, 800-929-7566. And we will send you the literature. The pamphlet is Goebbels on Your Campus, and also the new pamphlet, which is the two webcasts by Lyndon LaRouche on how to reorganize an economy. And as our guests have said so far today, this is going to be the key issue confronting the new Congress. Will they be mobilized to address the real crisis, or will they play the same old games? Now, we're back live with the LaRouche Show, and Michael, we talked for a few moments about Kepler. I'd like if George can cue this up for us for people to hear some of the singing. This is from the Boston Local, an example of bel canto and irony using the music from Christmas. So, George, you have that for us?
Joy to the world will come when we, impeached, push and chained, they're still promoting perpetual war.
They want to bomb Iran.
They want to bomb Iran. For Congress to grow bold, we need less bull and more balls.
But not just ornaments.
No more shotguns for Cheney. He shoots from the hip. And mark fully, hit on the wrong target.
They're caught with their pants down.
Joy to the world will come when we, impeached, push and chain, remove all vice from out this world.
We must impeach them now. Wow. If we have some time, we'll listen to another one before the end of the show. Michael, where can people find that? I understand it's on one of the websites. Is this on the LaRouche Pack website now?
Yeah, let me make this opportunity to make a pitch. If you go to LaRouchePack.com, you'll see right up front and center Christmas satires with a Christmas wreath there. Everyone across the country should immediately move to get this, to create a snowball effect, to get all radio stations playing that song we just heard.
Well, it's a good lead into the new Congress coming back and going with a double impeachment, that's for sure. Now, let me bring in the third guest we have on the LaRouche Show from the LaRouche Youth Movement today, Leona Fanchen from Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, where the youth movement numbers anywhere from 50 to 60 to 70 people, depending on the day of the week, in consultation with Lynn, we've been working on some ideas on how to get the maximum power from this idea of the mass effect of the deployment. And Leona has been in charge of the deployments the last couple of weeks. Leona, welcome to the show. Why don't you give us an idea of how you're thinking about it and how we're deploying in Los Angeles?
Yeah, hi. I mean, we have a certain advantage here in the sense that we do have 50 young people deploying, going out there every day. And so the idea has been, I mean, this is something that we have done on schools, on campuses, but now we're taking into an entire social environment. And so the idea is to create an environment that facilitates discussion and generation of ideas and the transmission of ideas. And so the idea is, instead of running into an individual who has, you know, a politics as a hobby, you want to create an environment where everybody is talking about it. You know, it has to be dining room discussion. And so, for example, what we did was, at the very outset, is we took a certain area, a small contained region. We started out with a place called Brentwood, but then we've moved on since. And you want to intersect people everywhere. I mean, coming out of school, going to work, going to a grocery store, seeing us at the intersections, you know, with big signs and a chorus that say impeach, double impeachment, and these type of things. So that when people go home, you have a certain buzz. And so, for example, you know, we had this, for example, when Carter came into town with his book signing, and, you know, about, it was pretty amazing. I think it was around 1,500 to 2,000 people showed up.
There was actually over 2,000 people, and they only had 1,500 books for him.
Okay. So, yeah, that's, I mean, this is in Pasadena. And so, and we had a couple of our members go there and go organize the crowd there. And as well as some people were standing in line, our Dina was standing in line. And, you know, she just struck up a conversation with a woman next to her. And, you know, the woman said, "What do young people do nowadays?" And she said, "Well, if they're smart, they're joining the LaRouche youth movement." Like, "Oh, those LaRouche kids, yes, I see them all the time. And I live there in Westwood." And this is an area that we also have hit in mass. And, you know, those young kids from UCLA seem pretty excited about LaRouche. I see them everywhere. And so, you know, in a sense of, that's the kind of discussion you want to create. You want to create a certain standard among the population where Congress as well has, it sets a standard for Congress as far as how they address the population.
Well, to go back to what I said at the opening, this idea of a moment where new ideas are possible, including difficult ideas. Ideas, for example, the idea that the whole financial system is bankrupt and, in fact, is the impelling force behind the drive to war. To conceptualize that and then to think, well, gee, how can we get a new monetary system? These are the kinds of things that people don't think about generally that are not taught in school. And so this idea of the mass effect, of getting this discussion going. And, Leona, we've been getting reports coming back. You know, to what extent do you think the LIM members are beginning to become self-conscious of this?
I don't know how to answer that question. Yeah, it's a broad extent, I guess you could say. It's you know, one thing I know is it's picking up nationally. The discussion around how to create the mass effect has been picked up nationally. And you know what's actually funny is that the population is getting a better idea of the idea of the mass effect. I know just from organizing people on the street as well as people on the phones, it's a much more subjective idea, right? Because it's not a matter of just being able to discuss it with each person, but then each person now has the responsibility to raise that discussion.
Well, we had an event the other night in Los Angeles of the FDR Democratic Legacy Club, which is the youth movement's official club in the Democratic Party in the state of California. And the topic was culture and politics. And what's interesting is that we're beginning to see that people are beginning to grasp the connection. And one of the ways to get that is a simple one. You just make the connection between the most moronic president in the history of this nation and a society of rap music, country music, and video games. And people can begin to see it from the standpoint of the negative. The question that was raised by someone at this event is can you tap into a hunger for something more beautiful? Keisha in San Antonio, were we getting responses from the singing?
Oh, yes. We were getting some very good responses from the singing. We did make up a few canons of Balbonia also, along with the large 4x8, like, gigantic signs that we had out at intersections every day that we went to. We picked two key intersections in the district, and we would, you know, sing. We would actually hold up these large billboard-looking signs at the intersections. But the response to the singing was great. The fact that you can actually mobilize and move the population around beauty and around creating a certain irony to music, as you heard with the Christmas songs done by the Boston Lim just a second ago. But it was very interesting creating a sense of humor around the insanity of the policies of Bonilla as a puppet of George Bush and also a pawn of Tom DeLay.
I think also we found something very interesting because we tapped into an existing cultural grouping in San Antonio, which goes back to the German immigration to Texas after 1848. And in fact, one of the meetings we had was in something called the Beethoven Bar. So you found that there was this German singing tradition, huh?
Yes, it was very exciting. You had a situation where the aspect of reviving a classical culture existed, or the German singing traditions existed in San Antonio, which was an interesting phenomenon because you have a situation where the culture there is pretty much a largely Hispanic population, and you found this area where there was a wide recognition of the importance of the classical culture or classical music. And we had an exciting time at one of the local, long-term, I think it had been there for well over 30-something years, bars that had been developed by a musical area that had been developed by former German settlers that fought to continue and to revive the classical musical culture.
Now, Michael, let me ask you this, because you just, I believe you were in Boston, were you not, for the Maestro Briano trip?
Hello? No, yeah. I wasn't.
Oh, you weren't. Okay, well.
Sorry.
But you can tell people about the importance there, because, again, here's something interesting, that the bel canto tradition, which is being revived by the LaRouche Youth Movement, which primarily was developed in the Italian Renaissance and then taken up by the great masters such as Mozart and Beethoven and Schubert and Verdi, is being transmitted to the youth in the United States by a Mexican maestro, Jose Briano. And how does that affect when we organize at Harvard or in downtown Washington, D.C.? What are the effects on people there from hearing the singing?
Well, the effects on there are always great. I think it gets back to what Leona brought up about changing an environment. Now, despite popular opinion, again, people say, well, how can you practically explain to me this how many votes this singing is going to get you? I think one of the things that listeners should keep in mind is that if you get yourself caught in some kind of debate with people when they set the agenda, you're always going to get yourself caught with some fallacy. Despite popular opinion, singing bel canto is actually human, and it evokes a human response from people, because in fact there is a truth about the physiology of human beings which we are created to communicate ideas. And
Mike, it's funny that you should say that, because I was thinking before the show started of subtitling the show "The New Politics: The Revolt of the Humans."
Yeah, right.
Go ahead with your thought.
Well, this is something that communicating ideas, working on Maestro. I'll just say I got a report in on the week with Maestro Briano, and what was seen, what was reported, is that, you know, youth who didn't have a lot of experience in singing beforehand were caught on very quickly, because the environment of working on bel canto is that the person leading a chorus, in fact, has to have the greatest expression of human relations with the chorus. You're caring about the people you're working with. Their singing voice is your priority. Them making a breakthrough. And the environment that Maestro Briano creates as a master in this is that in the room, when somebody makes a breakthrough, when focusing on one voice, the breakthrough is transmitted, because the people in the room relive in their mind, they can experience the breakthrough the other person experiences. So it's a It's an environment of ideas. And when you go out and organize and you have what they've done in Boston as an implementation since the election is to create G-choruses where they have groups of people moving out in well-composed choruses, and the environment then created on the in the organizing is a creative environment because this is something which makes people become creative thinkers. And political organizing is about ideas. And, I mean, this can get us back to some other things to discuss around the new politics organizing and the post-election as well.
Well, I think one of the things that I'd like to pose to Leona, given what she said earlier, is that one of the things LaRouche writes about, and you alluded to this earlier also, Michael, the difference between a dynamic process and some kind of mechanical statistical approach. I spent a little bit of time in San Antonio as part of this deployment, and I talked with some political professionals, and they kept talking about how you walk the precincts. And you know, then I asked them, well, what is the content of what you do when you walk the precincts? And they say, oh, we tell them to vote for so-and-so. And this is a classic example of statistical methods, that if you talk to enough people at enough houses, maybe they'll turn out and vote. And if they don't, you can blame the voters. Now, in contrast, this idea that you were describing, Leona, of the saturation process, the discussion process, the changes in groups, there's been a profound effect going back to about a month ago with the Goebbels on the campus pamphlet on the campuses in UCLA, UCI. Why don't you describe a little bit what was stirred up at those places?
It was a pretty big stirrup. First of all, we had, you've hit the nail when you get massive slanders. you've hit a vein of some sort. And so during, you had UCI, actually a bunch of these schools that we went to in mass, UCLA, UC Irvine, and also CSUN, where some of these exact people actually that we were exposing in the Is Goebbels on Your Campus put out these slanders against the LaRouche Youth Movement, and they're pretty weak ones, I have to say. The other effect, which is the positive effect, is that you had a lot of youth who were much more, what's the word, aware of the importance of the youth, that you would have this type of apparatus set up to make sure that youth didn't get political.
Well, I think the way Lynn described it is that the lid was lifted off the campuses by this deployment. What I'd like to do, we have about 12 minutes to go. There's a second carol that I'd like people to hear. George, if you can cue that, and then we can conclude with the discussion of where we go with this. So, George, you have that?
Cheney's wife with whip held high tells her how the two kneel down, and her dick in his reply echoes a dog barking sound. Go. Departing, oh. see Cheney's friends begin to sing, looking up on bended knee to plea agreement dangling. Go.
And that was the second selection from the group of carols that were done by the Boston LaRouche Youth Movement, and they are available for your home listening on the LaRouchePack.com website. Now, we've got about, 9 minutes or so to go. The Congress comes in January 4th. We have a webcast. Lyndon LaRouche will be addressing the nation on January 11th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. This will be Lynn's intervention as the Congress is going to begin a deliberative process. The Democrats say they're going to be carrying out a full schedule as opposed to the George Bush vacation schedule where the Congress comes in, talks for a couple hours a week, and then Bush ignores them. So we're in a completely new period. Michael, can you give us any sense of what the plans are both leading into the webcast and then also the week of action?
Yeah, well, I think a couple things. I mean, what we've got is we've got a Congress which has been elected largely. The new Congress is coming in with two things in mind. They know, one, they were elected to be the attack dogs for impeachment. And as well, they have a different idea of approaching the economic crisis. We had discussion up in Boston with some of these new freshmen firsthand. And we got a sense that some of them said, we can't do it within the system. We're going to have to change. But how do we actually fight this thing? And so I think the big thing that people have to go out with the next week and up until the Lynn's January 11th webcast, as we're going to be saturating the country, is to have a sense that this paper that Lyndon LaRouche wrote, and you can get on LaRouchePack.com, New Politics, was in fact the most important event since the November 7th election. And people have to really digest this because what's going to be absolutely crucial in shaping how this thing works out and winning the battle on the economic front is to make sure, as you just referenced, this problem still existing in San Antonio. As people are, how they approach politics mechanically and statistically, is to really reflect on approaching this crisis from the standpoint of not a set of assumptions of how we're going to win people over, but as Kepler and Leibniz both started with the physics of the situation, and act on that with the knowledge, not that you'll be able to have some quantized measurement of what you're going to be able to get, but with the knowledge that as we hit the ground, you can know that you're acting and you're able to control a situation and measure it because you're acting on the principle of what's actually facing the situation. In this case, the truth of this economic crisis and the complete insanity of this administration.
Well, I think it's important that we come back to another one of the themes from the November 7th election and also December 12th, which is LaRouche's statements on Howard Dean. We had firsthand opportunity to watch how Dean tried to lose an election there. I'll mention one point, and then I'll turn it over to Keisha to bring up another one. But what the Dean people did is they came in with a lot of money, and they essentially said, we're going to professionalize the election. And what they then did was pull together the old lists and do robocalls and television. But they told Rodriguez not to have a debate with Bonilla, and they attempted to suppress the youth vote. Now, Keisha, you were head-to-head on this question with people who were initially excited to see us there. Tell us about the encounter with the young Democrats, the campus Democrats in San Antonio.
Oh, this was very interesting because this was, you know, really getting at the suppression of the youth vote that you saw. When we went in, into San Antonio, we were told that one of the key campuses to hit would be the University of Texas San Antonio, UTSA, where there's approximately 20,000, well over 20,000 registered students. And we had been told by a contact that there was a potential 12,000 votes to come out of this school for the December 12th election. And so people were really excited that we were there, as you said. You know, you had the College Democrats of UTSA, the president of the College Dems, actually organized to get us a table and get us set up on the campus after we had already saturated the campus with the Goebbels pamphlet and had been told that we had to get a sponsor from the campus that was a youth organization or that was a student organization. And so after finding out what we were organizing around, the drive to turn out a vote amongst the young people and the students, you had a very exciting excited response from the College Dem president. But soon after, very soon after, I guess the Howard Dean crowd and, should I say, the Lynn Cheney crowd that had been a part of the ongoing stifling of political activity on the campuses, as you will see that we put out in the Goebbels on your pamphlet, targeting the malicious efforts of Lynn Cheney and her cohorts to completely stifle political activity on the college campuses, including targeting university professors and putting out a book against university professors, that this young lady was contacted by some of these networks that wanted to completely undermine the potential of the youth vote in this campaign and was told not to work with us. As a matter of fact, she was told that there is a memo in circulation coming from leading networks in the Texas regions, Board of Regents, that denies any type of activity or correspondence of College Democrats with the LaRouche Youth Movement. And so this was really part of the complete destruction, or should we say undermining, of the youth vote and work policies, I would say, coming out of the Dean crowd that would put scare tactics on some of the leadership of the College Democrats to prevent them from working with us. And so soon after, there was a real debate that took place that almost, caused a shortage of the potential of the voting coming out of the college students that were able to be achieved at that point in time.
Now, Keisha, let me, just because we're running out of time, I'll just finish the point on this, which you've described, is that it was probably from Dean and the DNC that the College Democrats should not work with LaRouche.
Right.
And while it scared a couple of people at the top, I think a lot of young people did respond and did go out and vote, and we now have the figures that show that in the precincts where we were most active, the vote was high. Now, what Lyndon LaRouche said in response to this is that the vote in San Antonio was a landslide against Howard Dean. And he said that Dean probably has not forgiven the Democratic Party for rejecting him in favor of John Kerry in 2004, and that's why he's working with the Cheney crowd to suppress the Democratic Party vote. And so we're going to be talking more about this in the days and weeks to come. I would encourage people once again to call in and get copies of the pamphlets so you can be part of this new politics. And we can start a new year with the new politics, get a double impeachment, and then get a new monetary system, and then we can really start having fun. So give us a call at 800-929-7566. Michael, Leona, and Keisha, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we look forward to hearing a lot more coming out of the War Room and the LaRouche Youth Movement as we implement these policies in the days ahead.
So let's go make history this week here.
Well, we'll make history this week. Get moving now and get those carols. Play those carols. They're available on LaRouchePack.com. Thanks for listening to us today, and we'll be back with you next week on The LaRouche Show.